Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the United Stand podcast. I'm Mark Goldbridge and I'm joined this week.
I'm back, man. Jesus, I've been flying halfway around the world. Well, not halfway, just to Holland. Then a Newcastle game. Just loads, man. 3 games in a week. So, yeah, we're back at it, man.
Lots to discuss. I want to get in straight into this. Look, you know, I'm going to ask you, Flex, where you stand on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because I haven't asked you about that yet. But I want to just start off with this. Something that's really irritating me a lot at the moment is around Manchester United. Like, I respect any United fan's opinion as long as, you know, well, it's there. I do respect any opinion. I don't have to agree with everyone. And one I don't agree with at the moment is this sympathy for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I keep seeing people, I still think that, you know, it's not the majority, but it definitely is a certain percentage of United fans who are going, you know, Ole deserves some time. We've had the good times. We've got to be patient. We've got to do well. You know, you've got to back Ole. You've got to give him time. And I think that to be honest with you, I think that's probably worse than being Ole out, as far as I'm concerned, quite simply because to say Ole Gunnar Solskjaer needs time, let's back him, you know, it's we've had it worse 30 years ago, you are absolutely ignoring the fact that you are not actually giving Ole Gunnar Solskjaer time, you are giving the Glazers time, because this is exactly why Solskjaer was appointed. He is a security blanket to them. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is failing for two reasons. One, he's tactically out of his depth, but two, he wasn't backed, he's not been supported by the board, and it really irritates me that there are top Reds out there saying, give Ole time, because they're absolutely burying their head in the sand and lubing their backside up by not realising that by actually sitting there and saying to fans, you must be quiet, you must give Ole time, you are basically getting into bed with the owners.
That is what's happening, because it's easy to say, give him time. It is easy to say that. And I have, to a certain extent, before we've hit this badder, a period being saying give him time, but the problem is that he has to earn some time. I said in the Flex and Rant shows, it's like he has to do something in the interim, where we all know the squad's not good enough, where we all know that he needs another transfer window. He's got to do something in the interim to give us something as fans to buy into in that time. That's his job. We can argue that, like I said, he wasn't backed and all of that shit is true, but when the transfer window shuts, you've got to show us something. And right now, we are sitting 12th with 9 points after 8 games. I mean, that is literally the worst start we've had, isn't it, to a Premier League season in over 30 years. So he's breaking the wrong kind of records left, right and centre. We're not looking like turning it around. We've got players coming out. And I mean, that David De Gea interview after that Newcastle game, that summed it all up. You know, there wasn't the stereotypical, oh, we'll try hard next week, we'll come back after international break stronger. That was, we are fucked, we can't even score 1 goal in 2 games. That's him literally sitting between the sticks, watching it from where he is and being like, we are really shit. And the confidence is at an all-time low. And it doesn't look like, at this moment, I can't see how Ole gets the results to get out of this mess, because they've got to come soon. They've got to come soon. You know, we've got 1 win in the last 5 games. Like, it's just so bad. So as much as we had to believe in the process and give him time, and we all said, look, we're all behind Ole, because this isn't just come from nowhere where we're all like, Ole out. It hasn't just come from nowhere. At the beginning of the season, we said, look, he's probably got a team that's probably going to finish 5th or 6th with these players. That is a bare minimum. And then hopefully we can see some of the young players come in. We can, you know, being in a round, knocking on the top 4, maybe at best, at absolute best. But the way it's fallen by the wayside, nobody expected this. And I think football is a results business. And I know that it's about giving time. But if this continues and we end up 15th, 16th, 17th, around November time, Christmas, what message does it send if they don't make a change? You know? So I'm all for trying to give Ole time. I really want this to work out. I still want it to work out. I'm hoping that, you know, somehow, miraculously, we get something against Liverpool. Then the next game is what? Norwich away, you know, to try and build some momentum. But you can't. I have to be honest with myself. I'd be blindly saying it if I said I wasn't extremely concerned that he can't get himself out of this mess, which isn't all his fault. But essentially, he's given us nothing to buy into the next chapter. He's not given us anything back. We're regressing. We're getting worse.
I must just say as well, we are new to this podcast lark. So if you are listening on iTunes or whatever, where you can leave us a 5-star rating, please do. And please leave us a review on there, because obviously it helps us in relation to the feedback and the ranking of the podcast as well. So if you are listening, please do give us a 5-star and a review or whatever it is you do on that. That would be really appreciated. But what irritates me is just the rhetoric. You know, I think that to rely on the board to do anything competent is insane. But I do expect Manchester United fans to have a level of common sense, and I just find it, I find a lack of logic in the in the fan who said, and I respect it because it's their opinion, I'm not dismissing it, I'm just saying personally I don't actually understand what they are saying when they say we had it good for many years, you've got to give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer more time. Because that is just a bit like saying, you know, my car's broken down, I'm going to leave it on the garage until it fixes, leave it on the drive till it fixes itself. Like, what is your solution to fix it? Because if you're just saying we've won things in the past, let's be patient with Ollie now, well, you're absolutely ignoring the fact that he had a £60 million net spend in the summer. What makes you think they're going to spend any more? That you're absolutely ignoring the fact that the team is not good enough, the players are not good enough. So, you know, without going into his tactics, let's just look at the board situation, let's look at the playing squad information. But people are saying give Ollie time, you're absolutely ignoring probably 70% of the problem. I would say Ollie is 30% of the problem at the moment, and whether he's good enough or not, I don't know. But you're absolutely saying give Ollie time whilst ignoring the fact that this man has, you know, you're being mugged off, basically. Get a black pen, black marker pen, or red or green or anything we can see, and just mark it on your head and say mug, because you're a mug. You're an absolute mug if you are sat there going, give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer more time. This man was put in this position to protect the board. I said this before, Flex. If he was not Manchester United legend, that he'd just come in from bloody Marseille as an ex-player and a manager of Marseille, he'd be gone already. They brought in a man purposely to protect them, and they're still being protected by some fans who go, give Ole time. And the Glazers will be sat there rubbing their hands going, this is working brilliantly.
A lot of people won't turn on Ole. And when I say turn on him, I don't mean get nasty, but in terms of want him out. Some people will just persist with seeing this long-term vision. But the other issue is as well, Mark, is that you look at our board, and I keep saying we could sack Ole tomorrow, but currently with how our club is run from top to bottom, nothing's going to change. It's not. And we do speak about the amount of managers we've had in the last 6 years, four, and they've all been bad appointments. So again, like we said, even when Jose went, do we trust this board to make the right appointment? Now, the way the Ole thing went, it made it easy for them. And like you said, it was a safety net, a comfort blanket to be able to appoint him. And they can hide behind that now because they know Ollie's going to get a lot more patience from Manchester United fans than a Joe Bloggs from another club would, i.e. Jose, who is not anything to Manchester United. But if we make a change today after this podcast, we heard that Ole Gunnar got sacked, right? I'm just painting this picture. I don't think that anything would change. I don't, unless they're going to make wholesale changes to the structure of the club at board level, technical directors, Ed Woodward goes, the Glazers, look, I'm painting a perfect picture here, the Glazers go, or something changes direction at the top. I believe that I don't see anything changing. We might see better tactics on the pitch to a certain extent, but when, let's just argument sake, Allegri or Pochettino or whoever it is, yeah, even if it was flipping Ancelotti or whatever, yeah, whoever comes into this short-term thing, yeah, they get better tactics, yeah, because they're a better coach, I get that. But when it comes to, right, I need Lingard out the door this summer, I need Matic out the door, I need Phil Jones out the door, I need Andreas Pereira out the door, I don't think he's good enough, I need Dalot, not whatever changes they want to make and be ruthless, they're not going to get that back in. They're not going to get it under this regime. And that, for me, is the single most worrying thing, because there is no quick fix to this. We could sack Ole tomorrow, like I said, we'd do a little bit better. We'll probably have another bit of a bounce, another bit of a reaction. I mean, Rance discussed the Arsene Wenger thing coming in for 6 months just to steady the fucking ship to the end of the season. But which is ludicrous, or Big Sam, you know. But nothing will change unless that manager gets everything he needs. And I don't think in this regime he will. And that is where the bigger problem is.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not Ollie out. Mm. What I'm saying is that these people who are saying give Ollie the time, you are worse than Ollie out because you are not addressing the problem, which is what you've addressed there, which is what I've said on my video on YouTube, is that Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer, in or out, irrelevant. I don't, you know, maybe he's total shit, maybe he can turn it around. But the reality is, any United fan who says give him time, you are blind. You are absolutely blind to the bigger issue. He could have till the end of the century. He will not succeed. I will tell you now, whether you are Ollie in or out, he will fail and he will be sacked at some point. It could be next week, it could be next year, it could be 2 years, but he will fail until something happens, like you've just said there. The issue is not, oh, give Ollie time. It took Sir Alex Ferguson time. We had totally different ownership under then. You know, it's the one thing nobody ever wants to address. You get people like Peter Schmeichel. You get people going 30 years ago under Sir Alex, we gave him time. You're not addressing the issue. The issue is we had totally different ownership 30 years ago. So stop comparing managers, stop comparing records, and start looking at what is happening at our football club and whether Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is good or he is bad. As you said, any manager comes in, give it 4 months of a good bounce, the same players will down tools, the same owners won't spend money, and the same manager will be facing the sack. We've seen it four times, and that's what I'm saying. Not, I'm not saying Ollie out, I'm totally agreeing with what you're saying. The board is the issue, the lack of a director of football is an issue, and the players are an issue. Yes, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is an issue, but I'm going to ask you where you are on Solskjaer, actually, because in a sentence, I've already done this on YouTube, so in a sentence, I said, I don't want Woodward to sack Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I want a competent director of football to come in. I want him to pull Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in the office and say, this is not why you got the job. You've got 2 months. If in 2 months he's still shit, you sack him. He probably needs sacking now, but it shouldn't be this board that do it. So that's why I'm not Ollie out at the moment.
Yeah, I think I personally would like to say you can go to the end of the season as long as you don't get ridiculously out of touch with the top six. We should be finishing in the top six with this team. I'm sorry, I know someone said to me the other day, but should we though? You know, Leicester got a better team than us and, you know, all of this, look at Chelsea. But I'm talking about the sixth best team. Currently, Palace are sixth. And if you're looking at the rest of it, I know you got Spurs and Leicester and that, but we should be in and around there. And if you can show me something, then we can get the technical director and get the backing. Because like I said, structurally, it needs to change first. I want that change more than anything. If they said, if you offered me, would change Ed Woodward, would change the technical director, director of football, would change the recruitment, would change, even obviously the owners, which everyone wants to change, but I'm not asking for too much. If they said, you have to keep Ollie for 2 years, but we'll change all of that, I would sign the papers now. I would. Because I feel that is the biggest problem right now. However, I know this is not a sentence, this is a paragraph, but a couple of paragraphs. But if this form continues under Ollie, I'm sorry, if it gets to Christmas and we're still 13th, 14th with like 15 points, what can you, because that means you're saying this is okay. Do you see what I mean? That means you're actually saying, This is fine for Man United Football Club. And we're not expecting to be challenging for top honours because we know we're way, 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 way off that. However, Manchester United should never be 14th, 15th, 13th, 12th. If that happens, then no matter what's going on at board level, it means that there's a problem at coaching level, a big problem, because we don't have the 12th best team in the league.
I mean, I think the thing that irritates me at the moment, it is, you know, as I said, everyone's got a different opinion, but it's the apathy amongst the fan base that, you know, it's a few days after Newcastle now, Liverpool's to come, we can't do anything about it, let's just crack on. And like every single day, I think about Manchester United and I get irritated because something needs to change now. It's not about, oh, let's see what happens against Liverpool. You know, even if we beat them, we'll lose to Norwich or Bournemouth. Exactly, we know that. Exactly. The cycle's been going for so long and I'm something's got to change now. I don't believe it should be the manager at the moment. It needs to be the board or the ownership, which we know is massively not going to happen. But something needs to change now. Anybody who says give Solskjaer time, you're giving him time in the same broken regime.
And it's going to get worse. He'll just keep failing and getting worse and worse and worse. And that is it. In this current regime, in this current structure, I don't think it's set up for many managers to come and do well. You know, we've seen it. We've seen it. We've seen the proof. Mourinho is one of the most decorated managers in football. Couldn't do it. Van Gaal
would fail. I've said this all the time. Pep would fail.
Exactly, he would, because like I said, when he says Fred's not the one, let's get shot. Matic needs out. Lingard's not the one. Rashford, all right, maybe not. When he says, I want this and I want that to be able to do this and that, he's not going to get that ruthlessness. He's not going to get that back in. He's not. Watch fucking City, probably because they've had these two losses, go and spend big in January. You know?
Yeah, they definitely
will. Do you know what I mean?
And if they don't win the league this season, they will spend
big. Exactly, because it's not acceptable. What an efficient exactly.
Team that's all about on the pitch goes and does. Yeah. All I would say is that, you know, these, you know, United fans, I'm telling you, it's, this is not, you know, I saw Andy Goldstein on TalkSport the other day saying, oh, you know, people are overemphasising the situation, it's not actually that bad. Mate, it is.
It is
it's
bad.
Been going on for 6 years. Yeah, it is bad. Yeah, and it's going to get worse. Definitely going to get worse.
Definitely.
Because nothing's going to change. I mean, look, Edward Wood might be a really nice bloke and he's a very good businessman, I would imagine, but he's you know, he knows nothing about football. The Glazers own us for money. You've got a very inexperienced managing coaching staff, and you know the players. I mean, let's talk about the players. I mean, what I'm reluctant to do is put the blame onto any particular group exclusively, because I think if you put the blame totally on the board, you ignore the fact that the players and the manager have been exposed. Yeah. If you put it all on the manager, that's very unfair as well. If you put it all on the players, again, the manager hasn't helped 100%. And the board certainly haven't helped. But with regards to the players, I mean, where do we go from here? People are like saying, let's get Martial and Pogba back. Mm. But these are the same fans who called Martial lazy last year. Paul Pogba, as we know, is very inconsistent. Mm. Maybe probably doesn't even want to be here.
It's desperation. It's desperation because we need something back. And the only form of positive we have, and when I say the only, I mean the only positive, is that when we had our full strength team at the beginning of the season against Chelsea, that team that went out, and then we played the same team at Wolves, barring Pereira, in that first half we looked all right against Wolves. That game and a half is the only positives we have to say, well, you know what? At least we had something with them in it. It's desperation. And I think it's as you were with the squad, because you have to remember, and this, because we've been so shit, we're all being elusive to the fact that we said we need like 9 players. Do you know what I mean? Like, in that transfer window, we wanted like 5 or 6, but knew that was never going to be on the cards with our club. But essentially, we knew we needed about 9. People were saying we need a whole new 11 and things like that, barring like De Gea or Pogba, maybe Martial, and that is all dependent on opinion. Some people hate Pogba, want him to leave, can't wait for him till he leave. Some people hate Martial and think he's never going to be good. But a lot of the genuine consensus of what I was talking to people about was that I'd only keep about 3 of these players in the starting 11. So we already needed 8 players for our starting 11 and we got 3. So already it's like, well, we can't expect too different a result from what we saw last year. However, what we're seeing now is actually regression. It's way worse than that. And that's where I'm looking at coaching and tactics, because how could it get this bad? So with the players, there are still a load of players who aren't good enough. We know that. There's still a load of players who either don't want to be there or need moving on because they don't fit whatever this vision is. And you can see, and again, it feels weird trying to talk about positives because it's so bad, but you do have to look at some of the things that we all highlighted as positives. And I don't know about you, but I was certainly happy when he moved out these kind of players. First game of the season against Chelsea, I did feel refreshed. I'm not going to sit here and lie because it's gone to shit. I felt pleased because Ashley Young was on the bench. Jones and Smalling weren't even in the squad. Matic was on the bench. There was no matter. Martial was up front in the 9. Alexis had been moved out and Lukaku had been moved out. Now, don't get me wrong, the biggest mistake was not actually letting them go. The biggest mistake was not replacing any of them, either of them. Hmm. And I get that. But from what Solskjaer had to work with, and I keep referring back to that United Stand Live event where we all said, look, we'll get behind it because he's got rid of 8 or 9 guys. And if he does that, playing the right way, we can get behind something. Obviously, it's gone terribly wrong at the moment. So I'm not going to shy away from admitting or remembering that I admitted that actually Solskjaer did do a lot of good. And I know, remember when you said it's more of a director of football role, but with that squad, away from the tactics and stuff, he did what he could do with how he got backed. Because we still don't know, like we spoke about in podcasts already, we still don't know if the reason he never got those players is because he just didn't ask for them because he thought he was fine with what he had, or he asked for them and they went, we're only going to do 3 this year because we don't want to spend that much. We want to keep our pockets lined. We don't know. But if it's the latter, he's done okay in that department. Where he has failed is reverting to negative tactics, reverting to negative team selections, looking clueless on the touchline. That is on Ollie. It is at this moment. At this moment,
the
but
most important area then.
The most important area as
he's
a manager.
Director of football then at best. Isn't
exactly.
He? I just think that people at the moment are sort of, you know, not going in on Ollie because they respect and like him too much and they feel sorry for him. And I'm sorry. He's just a man. He's just an ex-United legend. I don't need to feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for myself. Mm. I feel sorry for United fans. I feel sorry for the fact that we're run by plonkers.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is collateral. You know, if he needs to go to make us better, then I've got no issue with that. Mm. I just think right now, too many United fans are hiding behind the fact that they like Ole and they want to give him time, and they're not actually addressing the issue. The issue is the ownership. The issue is the players. The issue is his tactics. The issue is that he's come into this season like a coward. You know, why did we come? You know, you talk about that Chelsea game. He played Pogba and McTominay as two holding midfielders. Mm. And we hit Chelsea on the break, basically. Chelsea were the better team.
Way better.
We just hit them on the break. They should have been 2-0 up at half-time. So, yeah, you know, and tactically, he got exposed in the second half against Wolves. So, look, I'm not Ollie out. I know it sounds sometimes like I am. I'm just very... I'm Ollie angry. Yeah. That's what I am. I think he is to blame this season. But, you know, something needs to change now. And I actually don't think it should be the manager. Where to next then? We've got Liverpool. We've got, I think it's either Norwich or Bournemouth. One of those. Yeah. We've got them both.
It's Liverpool first. Away, Partizan home, Norwich away, Chelsea away, Bournemouth away.
Liverpool at home, sorry.
Yeah, Liverpool at home.
Old Trafford, yeah.
Liverpool at home. I mean, that...
You know, if we lose to... I don't think we will lose to Liverpool, but if we lose to Liverpool, this talk of it being...
They won't pull the trigger.
Pressure,
they won't. They won't. They won't. We could lose against Liverpool, Partizan, and Norwich. Actually, no. I think if we lost the next three in a row, I think something could happen. Because then the next one is Chelsea.
And you know what? It's right. You know what? The problem is, of course, I want to see the board go before Ollie. I want to see Woodward go before Ollie. I want a director of football in to sack him rather than Woodward. But if he does lose the next three games, there's a point where you go...
Yeah, yeah. Because it means nothing's changing. That means there's no reaction from the players. There's no positivity from anywhere. And the thing is, it's not like the games we're losing or dropping points in. It is literally, we've had a barrage of chances and we hit the post. We just can't score. It is the complete opposite. Don't get me wrong. We're not getting piped. We're not scoring. We're not conceding loads and loads of goals, to be fair to us, because we have made slight improvements at the back. However, we don't create a thing, a damn thing. And it's like, without Martial and Pogba, we haven't had anything. Daniel James is... I feel sorry for him at the moment. He's having a tough time looking like the player that he should look like for who we bought him. Do you know what I'm from?
Yeah, and too much pressure on a player. Too much pressure.
You know, Rashford, as much as people say he's poor or is not going to reach the heights, he literally is getting nothing. He's not even getting on the end of anything. He's not even linking up with the midfield. There's no relationship. There's no movement. When he does get it, there's nothing he can do, or he makes the wrong choice. It's a mixture of bad form and it's a mixture of bad play. Midfield, we can't create a damn thing. There's not one penetrative pass. There's not one through ball. There's not one releasing Rashford into the channel or Dan James into the channel. It is absolutely dire. So with all of that said, if we do lose against Liverpool, which could easily happen, he won't get sacked off the back of that, because is it a surprise if we lose to Liverpool if we can't beat Rochdale at home? Or Ace score again, you know, it's not. They're supposed to beat us, really. More, it's one of them games where if we get a draw, it'd be a fucking miracle. It is like one of them games. Partizan away, I'm not looking forward to that one bit. I saw how we played against Alkmaar. He's going to have to make a lot of changes as well, because it's a midweek game, only a few days after the Liverpool game. So that will be tough. I can't see us winning there. Norwich away after that, after of not winning in the last two games again, which carries on past the Newcastle, Alkmaar and Arsenal games, really, for not winning. But I can't see how Villa went there and slapped them 5-0. And you can say, why are you putting so much respect on Norwich's name? But you saw what they did to Man City when they just went for it. And they won't be scared of us. Then the next game after that is Chelsea in the Carabao Cup away. They're firing. We're going to lose that. Then it's Bournemouth away. Jesus Christ. We're getting to that point where after that it's Partizan at home and then Brighton at home. And I said Brighton at home was the only game where I looked at out of all of these games and was like, we'll probably just about win that. Sheffield United away, Astana away, Villa home, Tottenham home, Man City away.
There's a run in November. If he can get to November, I think he might be all right, because I think Brighton, Sheffield United, Villa, you know, they're all they're all probably the three teams that, you know, they're going to be around relegation zone. But I think
just
that,
below us.
The thing he's got to do, and this is certainly something that fans should be pointing the finger at Ollie, is that if he does go to Norwich and Bournemouth playing the way he's played all season, they probably will win.
Exactly.
Because Newcastle were a poor side, but they knew every time we get the ball, get everyone behind the ball. Because United are slow at moving the ball, and can't create anything.
That's it. And if nothing changes,
and then when we get the ball, hit break, quick.
Exactly.
Which is how we conceded.
Exactly. And it is as simple as that. Nobody's scared of us anymore. Everybody's worked out how to play against us. And I think teams are licking their lips, rubbing their hands, whichever analogy you want to leave.
It's easy.
It is.
Easy to play against Man United.
It is.
As long as I had a half-decent Premier League team, I think I could coach a team to beat United. Very easy. Get behind the ball as soon as they've got the ball. That's the hardest you've got to work is when they get the ball.
Yeah, just get back into shape.
Get back into position and then have a breather because they will not get their way through. And then you need to run again when we get the ball.
Yeah.
But when they get the ball, first 10 seconds, get back in position and then just have a breather because they will not pass their way through you. They don't know what they're bloody doing. We're very easy to play against.
That's exactly
which is why this whole fitness thing amazes me, that we were all about fitness. I think he took everybody on tour, blasted them, and now they're all getting muscle injuries because, well, like James Cooper said,
he
overworked them and they all look knackered. I don't see any energy on the pitch. And as you were saying about chances created,
nothing.
We're like 19th in the league for the chances of us having a shot in goal, the percentage of chance that we will have a shot on goal. We're 19th in the league for that when we've got possession of the ball. It's ridiculous.
It is.
But after the game, Newcastle, the typical line came out through the press. Probably, I don't know whether it's leaked by the club. The cynic in me says it would be. They can't wait to get to January. I mean, this, to me, was like, you've had enough kicks in the nuts, and then they give you one. They go and put some steel toe caps on and give you one final kick. And there are United fans out there again going, whoa, if we can just get to January, what are we going to get?
Yeah.
I said this after the summer window. I said, the January transfer window is the January sales.
Yeah,
it's crap.
It is.
You cannot get decent players. So what are your thoughts on January? Even if we've got 200 million, what are we going to do?
Mate, what are you going to do? Bring in fucking a Mandzukic who didn't even want to come the first time and only now wants to come. Now he can't get a game at fucking Juventus and wants a big pay rise. No, that's exactly the thing that they're talking about. The right ones. Ollie says, we didn't get the right ones. Well, you're not going to get the fucking right ones in January, are you? You're not. You know, I can't see Bruno Fernandes coming in January. The only thing I would do if it could happen, I would take Eriksen.
Yeah,
I would 100%. I would actually try to get him, to be honest, because it's fallen to shit for him. I don't know what he was promised or what, but obviously you can see what's going on at Spurs there.
It could be another. You know what though? He could be the Danish Sanchez. He could be. He's around the sort of same age.
Yeah.
Spurs, if you talk to Spurs fans, they're like,
a lot of them are not that bothered, you know. Yeah, it's true, it's true.
And I just think, as United fans, are we going, ooh, Eriksen again, and then actually not doing our homework on the player? Because a bit like with Arsenal and Sanchez, they were gutted about Van Persie. They were disappointed about Sanchez, but there was a lot of them thinking, you know what, actually he's been crap the last few months.
I don't know whether I'm saying it more because I think it's a more doable deal and won't cost as much. You know, he's in the last 6 months of his contract, isn't he?
It would cost.
Do you know what I mean? And I think for the position we're in, if you're saying by getting Eriksen in, would he be better than Fred? Would he be better than Pereira? Would he be better than Lingard? Would he be better than Mata? The answer is yes to all of them. It's like when we got Sanchez, I suppose, saying would he be better than Rashford or would it? And look what happened. I get it, but to answer your question, that's probably the only one I try and chase, unless they've got something cut up their sleeve. Where they had deals ready from the summer that just didn't quite get over the line. That's the only way I can see it happen. Anything other than that stinks of panic, and we just don't need more panic at this time and more uncertainty.
I also think
squad.
He needs to stop going for players like Sean Longstaff. To be honest with you, he's done that now. Wan-Bissaka, Dan James, they're potential players. Harry Maguire was established. He needs more. He needs ready now players because we already knew this. The one thing you don't get in football is patience. And to go and keep buying these players, I mean, I watched Longstaff at the weekend. I thought his brother looked better.
Yeah.
But it's only one game.
Yeah.
But his brother did look better. But the reality is he's certainly not the finished article.
No.
And he's already got a player like that in McTominay, who one game is brilliant, one game like Newcastle is very average. So he needs to go and get established players. And I'm not going to be sensationalist. I'm going to be, you know, this is going to take a long time to solve. We've been trying to do it for 6 years. We're in the worst position we've ever been in, and fans need to realise that. If there is a United fan out there going, oh, I just can't wait to get to January so we can solve it. We ain't solving this in January.
No way.
In fact, I would rather say spend nothing in January and wait till May, because you might waste 100 million in January on crap players that were desperately signing, when actually just keep it back till the summer. They blew it this summer. That's what they did. Don't let the club out of the bag with crap promises about January. You know, like you say, Mandzukic, Callum Wilson, players like that.
Mm.
No, you should have got, in the summer, you should have gone and got a Ben Yedder. You should have got a Timo Werner. You should have got a Bruno Fernandes. You should have got a Thomas Partey. Maybe next summer you could get a Maddison. You know, go for those sort of players. Don't waste the money in January desperate. Mm. And everyone knows we're desperate as well. I just think January for me, maybe an Eriksen would be, because it works, you know, there's common sense to that. But God, please don't go and try and sign 3 or 4 players in January.
No,
God,
you look at how bad we actually are. And you're right, the prices we'd have to pay to prize anyone away from their clubs midway through a season are just going to be astronomical. And for everyone who moans that our recruitment's been shit, you know, we're not spending the right money on the right players, well, then you can't beg for a January transfer window as a saviour, because we all know what happens in January. Maybe if you get one, literally one, it might think, okay, maybe that was planned, or they couldn't get it done back end of the summer, so they put something in place. But if we bought in 3 or 4 players in January, I would be very, very worried.
You also got to remember that if you look at the last 4 transfer windows, so January, nearly 2 years ago, spent nothing.
Mm.
Last summer of Mourinho, net spend was about 60 million.
Mm.
January this year, spent nothing. Summer just gone, net spend 60 million. Mm. So we spent 120 million in 4 transfer windows. We are not going to get in the Champions League this year. I would actually firmly say that now. Mm. We might not get in the Europa League, but it's still a massive loss earner for the second year in a row. We're not spending money because we're losing money. We're losing money because of how badly we're run. Mm. These people who think that this club is going to go and chuck 200 million, I don't see it. We haven't done it for the last 2 years.
No.
We're losing money. The share price is dropping. We've got the 5th or 4th biggest wage bill in the world, but we've got one of the worst squads in the world.
How does it work?
It's not like we've got players to sell anymore.
No, we've got no assets.
The only asset we've got.
And De Gea's just signed a long-term contract because he was the other only asset that we had.
I said this yesterday. I said, look, if Lingard, Mata, Matic, Jones, Young, Fred walked out the door tomorrow, are any of those players going to make you scared that they're going to bite us in the backside? No, they're not.
And Rojo.
And they're on massive wages. Mm. So we're not going to sell them.
No.
We've got, you know, I put my hands up. People can't see them because it's audio. But we are in a mess from top to bottom. Like, we've got a massive squad of crap that we can't get rid of that's going to be here for years.
And that's what's holding us back. That is what's holding us back, as well as all the other things you spoke about. The fact that we can't shift these players on just like that with a snap.
But we could have let Mata walk out the door for nothing. Mm. And we've just given him a 3-year contract on 140 grand a
week.
Same
with Young.
It's just, it's, I don't know. But I just feel that spending money in January with this, well, at the end of the day, if we got a director of football in tomorrow, to me, that's a change that's happening right now that will help us. But that is not going to happen. So it's going to be the same people. I mean, look, let's call a spade a spade. Who's in charge of recruitment? Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Ed Woodward, Mike Phelan, Michael Carrick, McKenna, and scouts that you don't really know the names of. They're the people who choose United's... and there's somebody who does all the dealings. I forget his name. I should know his name. Much, I think his name is, actually. And there was an agent this week saying that, you know, sort of having a right pop at him who works for United. But the reality is there's nobody in that club that you would trust anyway.
No, there isn't.
You know, and Ollie's done quite well this summer, so maybe his opinion on signings is quite good.
Mm.
But it's been like this for 6 years, so I don't actually... It's like... on the United stand for years we were saying Fabinho would be a very good signing.
Mm.
3 years before he went to Liverpool,
goes to Liverpool, and now he's the best defensive midfielder in the league.
Yeah, this has been happening for years. Mm. And there's a lot of fan opinion, certainly on the United stand comments, talking about these up and coming players. People are talking about that Havertz at the moment from Germany. Football fans are far more learned now than they were 20 years ago.
Yeah, because they can go and watch everything. Exactly, like these scouts who get to go and watch all the games. Well, in this day and age, we can watch all the games as well. We'll find out a lot about players. And I know it's different watching it on YouTube or watching it live on a TV than actually being there. but you can get a good idea of the characteristics of players and how they would impact on your team. I haven't even kept an eye on Bruno Fernandes. I was so pissed off we didn't get him. I just don't even know how he's done for Sporting so far, but I don't know whether we just weren't even ever in for him. Wasn't even in for him, so the club say. So it just begs the question, what are the targets? What is the vision? Because if you wasn't interested in an attacking midfielder, how do we have faith that you're going to address the right areas of this team?
Yeah, definitely. We're going to have to wait and see what happens with it. With regards to so obviously we've said we've got Liverpool to come. Let me pin you down on this. So what are you? Are you Ollie in, Ollie out? What is actually your definitive position at the moment?
I'm just about Ollie in. Just about. I'm very worried that he's about to complete the cycle of showing me not enough. But I haven't jumped ship just yet. I can see what everyone is saying. I understand what everyone is saying about being tactically inept. We're going backwards. And should this continue, he probably should lose his job, legend or not, because football is a results business. If you're not getting the results, it doesn't matter how many goals you've scored for the club or how many trophies you've won for the club as a player. You've got to get judged as a manager. But I still feel that sacking him won't automatically put us in a better position. And that is why I'm more early in than opposed to just give him time, he's going to turn it around, if that makes sense. I know it can sound like, yeah, but that means you're just waiting to die. But with the way our club is run, it feels like we'll be waiting to die whoever comes in, because it's not run properly from the top. And I don't trust them to sack Ollie tomorrow, get a good interim manager in the 6 months, change what needs to be changed up top, and then make a permanent appointment. I don't trust them to do it one bit. So for that reason, I think as long as we do get some form of improvement sometime soon, which doesn't look likely, but as long as we do, try and get him to the end of the season. Try and get him to the end of the season. But likely now, the January thing is kind of like, try and get there, because we're this bad. Do you know what I'm saying? So ideally for me, I'd like to see him show us something so we can at least get behind it to the end of the season and go from there. But just about Ollie in. Just.
And, you know, just to read a couple of tweets, I'm not going to shout out the people because it's probably a little bit unfair, but just to back up my frustration at the moment, there are still plonkers saying stuff like this. Yes, Ollie is not another Sir Alex, but the point is, how do we know how good he could be without time to form a team? And yes, the 80s is not modern day football, but does that mean he shouldn't get time to build a team? And again, I just would say, you know, you're just doing it for likes and retweets, mate, because there's no logic to what you're saying. Oh, let's give him time because we gave a manager time 30 years ago. Mm. Different ownership structure, different manager, different focus. You've got a manager in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer who played a certain way for 3 months and has now shit himself over the summer and gone ultra defensive. What are you building? Mm. I agree that he needs more money. I agree that the players aren't good enough, but bloody open your eyes. This is a man who's going to Newcastle with two centre defensive midfielders. He is playing shit football. He deserves criticism. Mm. United fans, and here's another one, United fans saying if we stick with Solskjaer, he will get us relegated like he did with Cardiff. Just look at Liverpool and Klopp. When he took over, they were losing week in, week out, and now they're one of the best in Europe. Mm. And he got Mainz relegated. Again, it's just sensationalist bullshit for retweets.
Yeah.
I'll take a look at what Klopp did when he first went into Liverpool. He did lose some games when he first started, but they still finished eighth. Mm. And also, he played exactly the brand of football that he's playing now.
Yeah, you can see the vision.
The philosophy and vision was there.
That is the key thing. We need something to buy into, and we're not seeing that.
That rhetoric that people are putting out is dangerous. These big bloody top reds going, we've got to give him time. He's building something like Liverpool and Sir Alex. Bollocks. I don't mind giving him time, but show me the vision and the philosophy. You're just doing it. I don't know whether they're on the payroll of the Glazers, actually, because that's what it comes across as, and I'm sure they're not. But they're putting this message out that gullible United fans are going, yeah, like a bloody seal catching a fish. You know, it's not true. It's not. You cannot just sit there this week and go, we got to give Ollie time because it works with Klopp and Sir Alex. Like, they had very different situations and they had very different philosophies. Ollie got the job. Ollie's at the wheel based on a philosophy we're all excited about. He's ripped it up and turned into a Poundland Jose. That is the relevant point at the moment. Doesn't mean you have to be Ollie out, but that is the point to focus on at the moment. He's got to change the way he's playing football, or he's going to get the sack deservedly. And that's what I would say.
Spot on, because we've got to start judging Ollie on footballing matters, man. You can't feel too sorry for him with what's going on around him, because whatever manager comes in to this club is going to have those same factors to deal with. So you have to find a way. It might sound ruthless, it might sound horrible, but he has to find a way to be able to show progression, however small, with this squad. He has to. With any manager, if Allegri came in them 6 months, he would have to show something, or he'd go in the summer before we gave him a full-time job in hypothetical situations. So once you become a manager, you get judged as a manager and the results on the pitch, unfortunately. And if not that, then the direction that you're going in, and can people see progression? Can people see individual players getting better? Can people see a pattern of play? Can people see a style of play? Can people say in-game management that actually looks quite positive? Can people see you setting up the team on the front foot to at least go for it? Liverpool used to attack the shit out of everyone, but just elite goals all the time, because they had fucking Lovren and Matip, Karius in goal, Moreno left back, Klein right back. They were shit at the back, you know, but they used to play on the same front foot. They still used to play how they play now. So that whole thing of, you know, just wait, we're not seeing an implemented style, and that would be Ollie's biggest downfall, which is why he's almost better going, do you know what, I'll just throw the kitchen sink at games. I will just go with one sitting and two attacking midfielders, and Gomez in the number 10 supporting Rashford, or Rashford off the right with Mason Greenwood in the 9, and maybe Martial on the left sometime, and then Dan James coming off the bench, and then just going for it. Do you know what I mean? And then lose 2-1 on the break because you went for it and left yourself exposed at the back. That people could get behind. How Chelsea lost to Liverpool, their fans can get behind that. Even them losing in the last drawing in the last minute at home to Sheffield United, their fans can get behind it. Do you see what?
Yeah, they didn't get beat.
Do you know what I'm saying? So because they can see a clear thing, because they've gone to Wolves, smacked 5 past them, gone to Norwich and scored what, 3? Scored 4 or 5 at fucking Southampton the other day. So they can see that they've got goals in them, they've got resilience, they've got some good players that they need to, they've got some older players that they need to move on, but they've actually got a good balance. They've got a basis to work on and try and compete this season. Plus a manager in Frank Lampard who's, let's face it, less experienced than Ollie in terms of being a first team manager, but because it's only his second year ever managing, but in the Championship, okay, he did what he was supposed to do with Derby, which is get them to the playoffs, really. But he's got a philosophy, he's got a way of playing, and he knows Chelsea inside out, as does Ollie. But he's I think the fact that they couldn't buy anyone might have helped him, but I still think there's a bit of Lampard that would have bought Tammy Abraham in anyway, would have brought Tomori in anyway, would have brought Mason Mount back with him anyway. So
yeah,
you know, so that whole just wait, well mate, it's nearly Christmas, and after he's got the job, even if you're not even just talking about this season and talking about the whole entirety of it, it's been shit. There's no, he's reverted from his own tactics, what he put down. That to me is the most surprising thing. He started on the front foot, not just because there was a bounce in the players, but the way he set up the team, we were pressing, we were creating chances, and then it went a little bit wrong, and it's reverted back to almost Jose tactics, if not worse. Worse.
It's funny when you look at the YouTube video I did last night, which I think was called Solskjaer Tactics Exposed, and about halfway through sort of looked at the results in the first 3 months and then how they felt.
Do you know what? I was just doing that
how
now.
How intrinsic Herrera
it's
was.
It's mental. When I'm looking after Liverpool when we lost 3-1, beat Cardiff 5-1, then we won 3-1, then we won 4-1, then we won 2-0, then we won 2-0, then we beat Tottenham 1-0, 2-1, then we beat Arsenal 3-1, then we had an uncharacteristic draw against Burnley, then we picked it up against Leicester 1-0.
Yeah, but Herrera was on the bench that
game
against
exactly.
Burnley.
1-0.
He played every single game that we were winning,
and then he took him out.
He rested players against Burnley, and ridiculous. Then he got injured against Liverpool, never really played again, and everything went to
it
shit.
Did.
So it just shows you, doesn't it, that you know Herrera was massively important. Yeah. He left, we didn't replace him.
Yeah. And then look, then it just burns. You know, you look at that PSG 3-1. Then after that, we lost to Arsenal. Then we lost to Wolves. Then we scraped a win at home to Watford. Remember that was when we were sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
Then we lost against Wolves. Then we lost to Barca. Then we scraped a win against West Ham. Then we got battered by Barca. Then we got battered by Everton, battered by City, drew against Chelsea when we should have won, drew against Huddersfield, who was already relegated, lost 2-0 at home to already relegated Cardiff. Yeah. It was just a mess. And then it's just a continuation from that, really.
Definitely. So. Well, look, everybody, please do give us that 5-star rating if you're on iTunes or Spotify. That really helps us. Hope you're enjoying the series. We're back again next week. I think everything is going to be very... very changeable week to week. I mean, one thing it never is with United anyway is boring, but unfortunately I think we are in a situation now that we've been in many a times as fans in the last 6 years where we are definitely questioning whether the manager's going to be sacked, whether you like that or not. It's going to be something that's going to be floating around for the next few weeks. Can he get through it? We'll certainly be discussing it on here and on the United Stand YouTube channel. But thanks for today.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for having me on, man. Good to get back to normal and keep this. Obviously, we'll always work around the games. We're being so busy and we have to cover everything for you guys. So sometimes that means little adjustments to midweek shows, given our busy fixture schedule, because we haven't been booted out of any competitions yet.
It's coming. Thanks for listening, everyone, and make sure you're subscribing and giving us the 5-star rating and dropping a review as well. It really helps. Thanks for listening.